Not only is there some spread trade action we're going to talk about today, there's a lot of tariff chatter as well going on. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzel is joining us this afternoon with Global Commodity Analytics for our market wrap-up. And let's start out talking about some spread trade. I mean, we're here at Farm Progress. Folks are, you know, keeping an eye on the markets as you would expect them to do. What are you seeing when it comes to that spread action at the moment?
Yeah, the spread itself on Tuesday's trade, Susan, I think was pretty revealing with a lot of news and a lot of different facets hitting this market, headline news especially. The spread trade was held up very, very nicely and was, I think, indicative of the market overall still nervous about what the supply is going to be. Noontime models for GFS came in with more rainfall, kind of centered in Sioux City, Iowa, and heading into the east and northeast into southern Minnesota. That's a disease pressure area, though, so will the trade see that as bullish or bearish? And I think this is where what they decided to do, along with the talk that we're going to see U.S. trade negotiators get together next week with pretty high-level Chinese trade negotiators here in D.C., they decided to work the spread trade more. The third thing that I think really kind of kept us away from trading too heavily on the flat price side was kind of a surprise improvement in the conditions for corn and beans by the USDA on Monday afternoon. And so putting all those things together, when we were closing out Tuesday's trade, we noticed that September corn and September beans carrying the premium, not down as much in the case of corn, carrying a bigger premium in the case of beans compared to the back end markets. This would make sense to me because if you're pulling the premium out of the deferred contracts like the March 26 and the May 26 futures, and you're putting it back towards the nearby, the soon to go into delivery September contract on Friday, in fact, that would suggest the trade's still nervous about the supply side. And that would mean, I think, that the trade is taking very seriously still the crop tour from last week still, and also this dry weather that's probably, even if it's not cutting yields, it's not adding to the yields, especially when it comes to the soybeans. And that's probably, if I had to choose one factor that helped to give the beans more support throughout Tuesday's trade, it was probably the fact that with this dry weather, we're probably losing more bean yield potential than we are corn yield potential in the trade's mind.
You know, neither you or I are agronomists. I'm going to put that out there in the forefront. But everything I have heard, everything I have read has also brought up the concerns of these cooler temperatures that we've been seeing and how that's going to have an effect on the size of these beans, which, again, will have an effect on what we see in those final yield numbers.
That's an excellent point, and I would even jump farther out than that based upon what I've talked to clients about this week and last week, and that is the weather, the cooler, drier weather may be better for the southern rust based upon agronomists that my clients are talking about too. But when it comes to the tar spot, this is not good weather in the agronomist position in this stage of the game of the corn in dough stage heading towards dent stage, and in some cases rapidly developing much more quickly than it normally would at the end of August. And so I think these considerations really do keep me on track. Broad brushing it, what I'm telling my clients and subscribers right now is, look, last year at this time on the report week, we made a low in soybeans. We did that this year too. This week, last year at this time, at the end of August, we made lows in corn and in wheat. I want to see that develop here this year again, where the corn and the wheat also make lows. And if that can be seen, number one, it would suggest that soybeans aren't leading us lower anymore. And number two, it would suggest that maybe we can keep up the same trend or a similar trend as last year, where we rallied into the mid-September crop report for the next WASDE report. And I think that would give a lot of soothing to producers who need to make some off-the-combine hedges. And I think it's worth saying and noting, this year, I've been a heavier seller of beans versus corn because the U.S. ending stocks were different than the world ending stocks. I was looking at world ending stocks this year as opposed to U.S. ending stocks. It sure seems to me the funds were doing the exact opposite. They were looking at tighter soybean stocks domestically, bigger corn and wheat stocks domestically, whereas I was looking at the opposite. I'm hoping these two things come together during this time period, because both us and Ukraine are going to be harvesting corn. And I'm hoping this world market means something to the trade soon.
So I wanted to rewind back as you were talking about these spread trade factors that were weighing in, and you talked about tariffs and China and this meeting that's going to take place. Are we banking too much on this? Are we assuming that something good is going to come out of this and this will be our saving grace for the soybean market?
You know, it is interesting you bring that up, because I was really weighing the fact that China is going to be hosting India's leader and Russia's leader and about 20 other major Asian and Southeast Asian leaders next week at their big military celebration. And I wonder if they're really willing to make a deal with us in light of the spotlight being on them and their military strength. And so I'm going into this with low expectations, like I have all year long, Susan. That has done a good job for me, so I didn't get bumped up and bumped out of positioning. So I'm hopeful that we can get something done, but I'm probably giving it no better than a 50-50 odds at this stage, mainly because Brazil has had such a big crop and Argentina had such a bigger bean crop than what we were estimating earlier in the year. There's no shortage of beans around. Yes, we're the cheapest again, but that doesn't speak well when it comes to how our trade frictions are right now. So I'm going to assume no deal. Does that hurt us that much? I don't know if it really hurts us that much, especially if we stay dry here in this country, because USDA has been taking down the export numbers nicely in their last couple WASD reports.
But who would have thought? I mean, when we look at the numbers, and we know the buying hasn't been there, and maybe I'm going down a rabbit hole here, but who would have thought that it was over 50% compared to what we saw last year? I mean, we knew they weren't buying, but when you see those numbers written out, it's kind of an eye-opener.
It is. It's very similar to 2017, 2018 during the first Trump administration. This year, I think we need to really put our focus and keep our focus on the biodiesel. The domestic demand is what's going to, I think, preserve the soybean price at above $10 or not justify a soybean price above $10. And it's really for that reason, and the size of the Brazilian and Argentine crop and the fact that they're back to planting their next cycle here already up and coming. It still makes me feel like the soybeans are ultimately the main leader to the downside when it's all said and done.
Look at something that talked about taking a complete 360 turn. We knew yesterday, the announcement came in over the weekend about the New World screwworm and what that meant in Maryland and how the cattle market was going to react. It's not the first time that this has been in the States in the last year. But having said that, the market reacted pretty tough yesterday. And today it seems to be like, okay, we've moved past that now. Let's focus on something different with heights happening in this cattle complex.
Yeah, you know, we're going to be probably over $10 above the lows on August feeders versus yesterday's lows at this stage of Tuesday's trade. And it just speaks to me. I wrote to clients and subscribers last night. The logic of a sharp sell-off on a human Guatemalan at a hospital in Maryland hurting our beef demand just does not register with me. If it would have been a dairy cow in Indiana, or if it would have been a steer in Texas, then I could have understood, okay, we've got some issues with the potential for lost consumption in the consumer side of the equation. But even that, given the supplies we have, is more of a question mark to me than in previous years. And so I think Tuesday was a very necessary day to get us back on track with the idea that these cattle are not backing down in the cash market. August fat cattle, August feeders going off the board on Friday, still at discounts to, especially in the live cattle, discounts to the cash market. And with the October fat cattle coming on as lead month futures, it being $4 discount to the August gives us even a bigger discount to the cash market. And when I saw the Oklahoma City close on the auction, I think this was just a little bit ago, compared to last week, the steers and heifers were 4 to 10 higher. Steer calves were $10 to $20 higher, and some were even higher than that. And it just goes back to the grazing, the pasture conditions being so much better. So I think that we've got an opportunity here to continue to stretch our legs into the holiday, but we do realize that it's the end of the summer grilling season, and seasonally it gets tough And in 2014, we did see a high in the feeders in October. And at the end of the day, we still have to find out when USDA is going to open our border up. And so I would say let the good times roll here in the short term, but get eager to get some hedges back in place as we get into the fourth quarter marketings, maybe in the next 20 to 40 days.
Very well put. Yep. Thanks so much, Mike. Mike Zuzulo joining us. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. And a quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Tuesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.